Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have a couple of great guests in with us this week. Suzanne and Jan are here to talk to us a little bit. If you missed our last couple weeks, we had a great conversation last week about the Troops of St. George. So check out our podcast on iTunes or Podbean or on our website at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Like I said, this is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have Suzanne and Jan with us today. We're going to talk about the Adopt a Grave Project, which is perfect timing, obviously, with Veterans Day coming up. And last week, obviously, being the Feast of All Saints and All Souls, we spent a lot of time discussing and hearing on a lot of different shows kind of the Catholic background of praying for the dead and honoring the dead and those types of things. So, Suzanne and Jan, thank you for being. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning. What is the Adopt a Grave Project?
The Adopt a Grave Project evolved. Initially, my uncle, my father's older brother, was killed in World War One. That's John Krause. He was killed July 18th, 1918, and he was 18. And that was at the Battle of Soissons in France. His body came back in 21, and the VFW Post 454 was founded in 1920 and adopted him as their namesake and honored him.
I knew that name sounded familiar when you said it. I was like, I think I've seen that before.
Right, yeah. It's at Lincoln and Morrissey. And they come out, their tradition, they come out on Memorial Day and do a little ceremony out at Park Lawn. He's buried in Danvers. And it's really kept him alive in our family, his memory. And it's very, really, I think, really poignant and like the heart of America, because this little small town cemetery is surrounded by the fields, you know, and it just is perfect. And then all the centennial lead up, a couple years ago, I asked my cousins if we should maybe go to be on the battlefield for the centennial of his death, and they rolled their eyes, of course.
They didn't want to go to France.
Well, maybe they will. Some might. And then I just started digging, because I knew, I found a book called McLean County and the World War. And it had a lot of inaccuracies. It had my uncle still buried in France and other, because it was published like 1920, before most of the bodies had returned. And having done some genealogy, I just started digging, and the rest is history now.
So how long ago did you start this project?
A little over 2 years ago.
And what exactly do you do?
Well, primarily working initially with Ancestry and something called Find a Grave.
I've been on there before.
Mm-hmm. And also the source book that we use was McLean County and the World War. And that's online. It's archived at the U of I library online. And sometimes there'd be questions, and I started calling and dropping in at Lexington when I'd come down. And, you know, then you just get more data. I brought some of my stuff so you have a sense. It's, you know, very home. This is not a big professional guy, But this is a working draft, and I just have my spreadsheet, you know, and just figuring out what you're going to keep track of,
yeah,
and how to talk about it.
So this has become your full-time job.
It has, particularly the last few months.
Yeah.
The last few months in particular. The other goal I had was to sort of raise the visibility of World War One.
It often gets overshadowed.
Totally, totally. It's between the Civil War and World War Two.
Yeah.
The World War One, when you go in a bookstore, there's a very small section. And I think probably next month we're going to have a lot of people talking about it and asking about it.
I was actually listening to the radio on the way in this morning, and they were interviewing a gentleman who runs the World War I Museum in Kansas City.
Oh, yes. I've called them and tried to locate, because we have four people we have not been able to find where they're buried.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is to bring remembrance to their grave, clean it up.
Clean it up so they'll be good for the bicentennial.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we found it's about an 80-20 rule here. About 20% need a lot of work.
Yeah.
About 80% are in good shape.
100 years of weather.
Yes. And, of course, our weather now is a little different, the wear and tear on stone and such. But I think we've been very happy with the response.
Yeah.
We have, we've had several events at the Post, speakers. Bill Kemp from the History Museum came and spoke in May. We had Dale Evans, who spoke about the music of World War I. Brought his ukulele and his old Victrola and the big, thick records, you know. And then, and Bill talked about World War I and the home front and the impact in Bloomington Normal and the county. Especially, a kind of a dark side was the anti-Germanic response. You know, how they had to Americanize everything.
Yeah.
Even though the Germans were the leading ethnic group in the county. In terms of origin, like the numbers that are immigrants or first generation, it was the highest segment. So, in between, Jan's been very wonderful. Like the problems, I call her, or people call me with, we can't find it. And they'll say, well, I think you need to call Jan at Lexington.
Our society, the Lexington Genealogical and Historical Society, started back in 1960, and that's when the ladies went out and walked the cemeteries to start making records of what was there.
Wow.
And so we can refer back to those records and see what was in the cemetery. I mean, think how many years ago that was.
Yeah. You guys were the original internet.
Kind of.
Doing it on foot.
Our society was actually the second genealogical society chartered in Illinois. The first was down at Danville. So we kind of hold claim to that, but then a lot came on in the 60s. So, yeah, we pride ourselves on having as many possible obits as we can for people in every cemetery in the four counties that we cover.
Wow.
McLean, Livingston, Woodford, and Ford.
And you guys do that all out of Lexington.
Mm-hmm. It's all a volunteer society. We get no tax support, or we're not connected with a library or anything. So,
wow.
Just a bunch of people that like genealogy.
And they have memberships, yeah. You know, and, mm-hmm. and do some, you know, some events.
Right.
To raise money.
Right.
So I can tell you, I was doing my own family research, and I couldn't find my great-great-grandmother. And they had the record. She's buried in a cow pasture cemetery. So she's surrounded by fields and cow pastures. And her stone is gone now. But they knew where she was, and it's just off the Uton Road.
Wow.
Between here and Danvers. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. So you mentioned the World War I being kind of the lost war. Mm-hmm. I think it's great to your point to bring awareness really back to those troops that served. In the process of starting this program and getting into bringing awareness, have you seen, do you run across a lot of folks that are like oblivious to World War I?
Yes, I think a lot of the people have adopted, like one woman called and said, you know, my family's been in every war. You know, she tracked back.
Yeah.
And I feel I need to do this. So she didn't really have a clear sense of World War I, but she knew her family had a tradition.
Yeah.
And she was going to do that. We've had several teachers get involved. Some are, like Andrew Quain is up in Livingston, and he's been doing a big cemetery project there with all the cemeteries and all the doing the coordinates, trying to do the latitude, longitude on all the grave placements.
Gotcha.
And so he took on, you know, half a dozen, and another teacher at another high school, Mark McBride, in Tri-Valley. Yeah, he took on half a dozen. And then John Bierbaum at Normal West High School, they took on about a dozen and a half, about 18
wow.
graves. And it's all everything's coming to a head now, right? We're approaching the armistice. And tonight and tomorrow night, we're distributing flowers and flags. People are coming to the post to get the decorations for their graves. Although some have gone ahead and just bought their own, but that they didn't have to, you know. And we're collecting pictures, especially before and after when they're a problem, because some of it's really startling.
Yeah.
And, you know, the final outcome, some people have said I should do a second edition of the book because it's off of, it's no longer protected because it's, but it was published before 1924.
Okay.
And that's a different world now. And I've talked with some people, the American Legion is encouraging me to do something online and do that. And then, of course, I'm working with Lexington, and they need the cemetery, you know, and they're certainly going to – this is their data.
Yeah.
You know, they have good use of it.
And we have a website you could publish on, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this job of yours is nowhere near finished.
No, it's not.
It's just getting started.
It is just getting started. And, in fact, in the short term, besides doing the distribution and trying to get the photos in, excuse me, we're having a thank you lunch on Sunday for all the adopters. Not about a half are coming. And we're moving toward an event sometime in the spring to visit the graves of McLean County soldiers who never came home. And they're buried in Belgium and France. And I know where they're buried.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working with a couple different travel groups to try to get the best price. And then we're working to get a press release out Wednesday, so hopefully it'll get visibility with the armistice, linking where people were in 1910, like in the census, because we don't know who the descendants are. And that might be a natural connection. They might want to go to France.
Sure.
I did find one first cousin in California on Ancestry. When you're searching for someone, they'll tell you if they're on someone else's tree. And so they have an internal email system. And so we connected. And she said, well, we're a little old, but, you know, can I help you or something? And they're in California. But she was born and raised in Chicago. And she on the north side, close to where I live. And she said, you might know one of my sisters. Well, it turns out I worked with one of her sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In a town of 7 million people.
Yeah, I know, right. You know, so those little things, those coincidences, I always take as a sign.
Sure.
That I'm doing the right thing in the right place. It's a gift. It's a blessing,
yeah.
Really, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We you touched a little bit on the graves being 80% fairly in good shape, and then what's been the most astonishing grave that you guys have worked on?
What we know of at this point, I think, is the one that was submerged 90%.
Wow!
And it was a curved top, and they just by accident they were just getting ready to leave. This was in LaSalle County. Streeter area, and they just happened to see three or four of the letters, and what's that? You know, and they dug it out, and some revealed it, and then it was the full name.
Wow.
And now they're working with the cemetery and the VFW have gotten involved to raise it and hopefully
not let it sink again. Yeah.
Right.
And this is a stone that's, what, 18 inches tall or so?
Oh, maybe more.
Really?
Maybe 24.
Wow.
24 to 30.
And it had almost completely sunk into the ground.
Mm-hmm. Just something underneath shifted.
I don't think back then they put concrete underneath.
There were no
anything.
Pads, yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all pretty much government stones, marble, that deteriorates real easy.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of an interesting question. Some of the soldiers, for whatever financial reason, their family situation, all they have is the government issue stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the poorest quality.
Shock.
And it's illegible.
Yeah.
Should those be replaced? You know, that's a question that we've kind of been bringing up every once in a while. The ones that are missing, we'll certainly try to replace.
Yeah.
We haven't found too many missing, though.
No.
Not too many.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you're only missing four more of folks.
Those are people we can't find at all.
Where they're buried.
Yeah.
Where they're buried.
An interesting side effect was one of the speakers was from Britain, and he was sort of surprised to find when he came over here that we had brought soldiers home. Their soldiers are buried wherever they are died.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they don't have any repatriated.
Hmm.
And he was shocked of the number that we had brought back.
Wow.
Why don't you share some of those numbers? Do you have those? Like in McLean County, we found 110.
Right, 110 region, in the McLean County region.
Yeah.
Just going over the border a little bit. We have 110 World War I fatalities who died during the war.
Wow.
And officially, we were in the war not quite 2 years. But the reality of when did we fight, we were really only involved in fighting about 220 days. Because that first almost full year, it took them to gear up.
Sure. Had to train them and get them over there.
Get uniforms made.
Yeah.
Build the barracks. Get the training and, you know, yes. I think we had about a 50,000 member army base before the war was declared. Another interesting element, I thought, was that the president, Woodrow Wilson, had been reelected in November of 1916 on the slogan that he's kept us out of war. But that 1916 was also the longest battle, the Battle of Verdun, and it really just about wiped out France, the French, and British Commonwealth forces. And I think that's one of the push that got Wilson involved. In fact, the fellow who created that slogan for him, for his campaign, that was then charged with getting the country behind the war after we entered the war.
He's a good sales guy.
He had to be. That's right.
I heard on the way in, like I said, it's funny that I was listening to the radio and they were talking about World War One. That there were 60 million people that fought in World War I and over 30 million casualties or fatalities. So your odds of being killed or severely wounded was over 50%.
Well, just remembering that in Europe, they were involved in World War I almost 5 years.
Yeah.
It was long. And a lot of that is civilian.
Yeah.
A lot of civilian losses. Whole villages just totally wiped out.
Yeah, it was a new age of warfare that we hadn't experienced previously.
That's right.
We became far more efficient at killing people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an interesting watershed moment because it was the last war that we had horses, you know, pulling cannons and supplies and such. And it was the first war that we had airplanes, aviation. I'm just going to make a plug for American Experience on public radio, on public television, has a wonderful three-part series on World War One. They played it about once, twice a year. And if anyone supports PBS and has a passport which is now a way to access their whole system. You can look at it on demand. But it'll probably be playing again with the armistice. So American Experience, that's like a weekly special, you know, like a specific time slot.
On PBS.
On PBS. And it's a three-part special on World War I, and it will astound you.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. And Suzanne and Jan are in with us today talking about the Adopt a Grave Project. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio on Saturday, December 1st for a Christmas pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Snows in Belleville, Illinois, where shrine grounds will be illuminated with the annual Way of Lights Christmas display that centers on the birth of Jesus. The trip includes the breathtaking drive-through display, plus a church tour, a Christmas tree display, and the gift shop. See are limited, so register before November 12th. Visit CatholicSpiritRadio.com for more details and to register. Call Kathy 309-828-6554 with questions.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have a couple great guests with us today. Suzanne and Jan are here talking about the Adopt a Grave project that has become Suzanne's full-time job. And Jan is here with us as well, and her full-time retirement job is the Livingston County Genealogical Society.
It's McLean County.
McLean County. Okay. Out of Livingston. Yeah, there we go.
We really do four counties.
Lexington.
Yeah.
It was an
L. I said Livingston four times. John will fix it. So thank you for being with us. If you guys are just tuning in, go back and listen to the first segment on our podcast on iTunes or Podbean. So what exactly is the Adopt a Grave Project? If somebody wants to get involved by adopting a grave, what does that entail? Money?
No money. And in fact, it's a good question, what's entailed. It's really been all focused on the centennial.
Okay.
Of the armistice. And we've had interesting feedback when we had an open house September 30th. This has all happened since September 30th, where people came in and signed up to adopt a grave, and with some energy and excitement behind it, you know. One person was signing up, and we had a form for them to fill out, and she said, oh, I can't really sign up. I'm graduating in May. She's one of the veterans at ISU. They have a fraternity of veterans. And she and another fellow had come in and adopted a few graves. And I said, well, that's okay. Armistice Day is in November. And she said, well, so people thought in terms of when you adopt a child, it's forever.
Yeah, well, at least 18 years.
Right. Well, forever. So that was an element that I had to clarify.
Yeah.
That it was time now. What's happened, people have become connected, you know, from reading and from working on the stone. And then you see the family there. And some people do extra research, or they call Jan and she does extra research.
And they want to know if anybody remembers them. And we're like, no, they would have to be way over 100 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I think there will be some continuity, but it's not required. And, you know, I did talk to several of the cemeteries about stones and how to clean. And there are some products out there, but just to be safe because of all the variables, the different types and the different qualities of stone, we just say water and elbow grease, plastic scrubbies, soft brushes. And the other part is to soak. So if anyone's out there and they have a dirty stone that maybe they don't even know who the person is, but it's near their own family plot or something. If you soak it with a wet towel for about 15, 20 minutes, it really helps to loosen up the dirt, the other things that are growing, the green stuff. And
does it help to go out like after a long rain?
Well, that's possible. The other thing, especially with the white sandstone, when you first clean it, you say, oh, it doesn't look so much better. But as it dries, it will.
Gotcha. It has a kind of grayish color to it when it's wet.
Right, right. And so it was just a matter of committing to visit the grave, clean the stone, tidy up the grave, put out the flags and flowers, and take a picture. Because we're trying to put together a visual record, like a PowerPoint or something to that effect, especially with the before and after pictures. Some of them
are amazing.
Yes, they're amazing.
What?
And I'm happy to say that at this point, all the graves in the McLean County region have been adopted.
And how many is that?
110. Now, we did have 14 around the state, and about half of them have been adopted. And that's been an interesting networking experience. I'm pretty networked in Chicago, but this has all been new.
Yeah.
All new connections.
Mm-hmm.
And are there other groups doing a similar project throughout the state?
You know, I haven't found them. I've had a couple people say, oh, we need to do that in our county.
Yeah.
And they've
said, they don't have a Suzanne.
No.
No, and when we talk to the legions, they are very concerned about all of their veterans.
Sure.
So they weren't really wanting to
Some of them. Some of them were into World War One.
Right. Yeah.
But most of them want to take care of all the veterans, mm-hmm. and we were not focused
equipped
on that.
Equipped on that, yeah.
Right. No, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think McLean County had somewhere like around 4,500 soldiers in World War One.
Oh, wow.
Second only to Cook.
Really?
So very patriotic around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 4,500, that's a lot.
I know. It is a lot. And
sadly, a lot of those that we found did not die in battle. They died of the flu.
Really?
If you remember that epidemic that went around in 1918...
I don't remember that.
Well,
you don't.
many of the boys that we have adopted, disappointingly, kind of when we first started, we found died in hospitals because got sick. Some of them had gone over, fought the war, and were on their way home and just a few hundred miles from home, and they took sick. And it seemed like most of them were only sick less than a week.
Wow.
And then they died of pneumonia or something similar.
So these 110 were all...
who died during the war.
During the war, yeah.
Right. And one or two died, one died in 1919 and one died in 1920, but is directly...
Related.
The story, yes. And that was an injury in battle.
Gotcha.
You know. But...
some of them we have to really search... to see why they were listed as being from McLean County. One boy was from Melvin, Illinois, born there, went to school there, went to college, graduated, came back, was the banker. We could see no connection with McLean County. He married a girl from Normal.
Oh.
And so her family was here.
And they were affected. First of all, we didn't feel that we were in a position to take anyone off the list.
Sure.
We went with the list. And so that's why now we say McLean County region. And we're realizing it's anyone who was touched by the loss. Someone in the McLean County region was affected by the soldier's death.
Gotcha. How many cemeteries are in McLean County?
I don't know. Do you know how many cemeteries?
I think we could, on our list, probably 200.
Wow.
You wouldn't think that, no, because you think of the big ones.
Yeah.
But we map every, like the little one where her great-grandmother was.
Yeah.
We still have a book for that.
Wow.
But the World War I soldiers are in 35 cemeteries.
Okay.
In the McLean County region.
Gotcha. 200 cemeteries. Wow. Yeah, those little out in the corner of a field somewhere.
Cow pasture cemetery.
Right.
Huh. Wow.
And some of the churches, you know,
have little
places too. So then around the United States, we have one McLean county soldier at Arlington, one at Chattanooga National, and then also another one at Middle Spring, which is in Kentucky. Those are three national cemeteries. And then we have 23 others in other states, primarily centrally about five in Indiana and five in Iowa, and then distributed all over.
Yeah.
And that was usually because the parents had moved after the boy went away, then the parent moved, and so the body, instead of coming back to McLean County, went to where the parents were.
Gotcha. So I have a slightly off-topic question for you, just to kind of gauge your thought. And Suzanne, I'm sure you have an opinion, but maybe Jan. I remember growing up, my grandfather, we always went to the cemetery, right? Memorial Day, Veterans Day. He could tell you where his sister was buried and his parents and his grandparents. I've never been to the cemetery with my dad after the day my grandfather was buried. And I think he's mentioned maybe once or twice that he had been. But my grandpa died 20 years ago. Do you think that going forward we will continue to kind of see my generation maybe lose interest in that idea of, you know, going to the cemetery, laying flowers, those types of things?
I'm surprised at your age that you had that experience, because we're not finding young people.
Yeah.
As we do our obits, we are having a very difficult time because people are looking towards cremation, and then they can hold the bodies. They don't need to make a final decision for where they're going to put them. And so we can't really trace where those people are ending up.
Yeah.
And they're, with the mobility of our society, it's been not so much to be with your family. We're finding more and more families are spread, you know, here and there. Wherever they built their life, then that's where they're buried.
Yeah.
Many are being spread. You know, I just saw a program where Disney has problems because people are asking to be
spread
at Disney.
And their favorite ride.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tomorrowland.
Especially like the...
the Small World, though.
The Haunted Mansion.
Really?
And they have a certain signal when
when
they've found something and it has to be cleaned up, you know. So they're saying, please, please don't do this.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful to your relative or, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the legality.
I was
going
to say, I'm pretty
anyway.
Sure it's against the law to spread people's remains.
Right.
And most places.
So we are having to adjust a lot, and we keep lamenting over when people are looking. You know, 50 years from now, there won't be anything there.
Yeah.
So much information now is digital. They don't have the typed out things like we did, where the ladies went out and walked. We have the records where they actually used the notebooks and drew the little squares and put the names in. And that's still used today to go back and say, well, who bought this lot? Could it be possible that they're there, and then trace back and find out, you know, that, yes, there is a body there.
Do you think that that is a reflection of our current society's value of life in general? That we no longer have that kind of reverence or respect for family and for the dead because we don't maybe necessarily respect life as much as we used to?
It could be, but like a lady from Germany came over to visit, and she came to the fort because she had contacted us about making contact with relatives, and we were able to match her up with a cousin, and they ended up getting together and having reunions. So she always comes to visit us whenever she comes to town. But she told us that in Germany, you pay for your burial spot for 30 years. And then after 30 years, if no one pays the bill, then you are removed and someone else can use that spot because they are so tight on space.
Yeah. Well, Chicago, they were putting them in on top of each other, right?
And people do that to save money, too.
Yeah.
No, but double-deckers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times now, they'll take a cremation and add it to another grave, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I think legally, they like you to have like a little vault, and
yeah,
that, which can get expensive. So that could be part of the reason why people don't want to follow through and put the cremains in.
Yeah. Well, plus I think too, for some people, it wouldn't bother me, but I can assure you that my wife would not be happy about having like an urn full of ashes on the fireplace. My grandfather, my grandmother was cremated, so she's still on the shelf at his house. But, you know, and the kids always, of course, point it out. And they're like, there's grandma. But I think it's a lot different, you know, today than it used to be. And to your point about my grandfather, who always went to the cemetery, he was very big on genealogy and building his family tree, and which I think brings a lot more, you know, when you know who they are as people, then, you know, you tend to want to go.
And as an example, you know, families move apart. One of my sons lives clear in Georgia, and it's breaking my heart this weekend because I won't be here for the celebration of the adopt-a-grave, but every chance I get, I go see them, and my other son is going to go, so I'm with him, you know?
Yeah.
But that too,
yeah,
you don't have that experience of having been at grandma's house every holiday, every Sunday afternoon for chicken dinner or whatever.
Yeah, or where you have a cemetery full of people and it only has four or five different last names and everybody's there. Yeah, it's a lot different. I've just kind of always, again, kind of thought about that and wondered kind of how that's going to look in the future just because of that experience
I
had.
I wonder too, like, with the media, social media, with all the supposed mediums that can, you know, contact.
Yeah.
And so they say, oh, you know, they're not out at the cemetery. They're with me every day. You know, that kind of feeling.
Well, I think that's even a basis in certain religion. I mean, when you go to the cemetery, you know, I mean, the remains of the body are there, but the person isn't there. The spirit isn't there.
Right.
So that's...
It's more for the family or, you know, whoever's visiting them to. But I agree with you. To me, it doesn't make. Excuse me. If I wanted to have a conversation with my grandmother who passed, I wouldn't need to go to her grave to do it.
You know,
I mean, if I, you know, wanted.
It's true. But I can say, I mean, I was raised going visiting cemeteries, and I still do that. And what I noticed for myself is it kind of. It's like taking a visit to go, and it carves out a time spot, a slot that, and you can reflect and kind of talk to them even.
Yeah.
And that's harder to do when you're on your couch in the house.
Yeah.
You know,
when something. You're on your cell phone. And
right.
You're playing Candy Crush or whatever your game of choice is.
That's true.
And yeah. It's nice that the United States government still repatriates people. You know, I'm glad they do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to bring those mm-hmm. people home.
Mm-hmm. One of the other thoughts I have around World War I is, you know, it was called, titled as the war to end all wars.
Yeah.
And if only it had.
Yeah.
You know, it's disturbing and a human nature. And, you know, we have kind of a vicarious experience because it wasn't fought here.
Yeah.
You know, the Civil War was really the only, in 1812,
yeah. And another forgotten war.
Well, yeah.
it was kind of the first war that we as a nation went
right.
mm-hmm. to fight
right.
in foreign land.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we tried to stay out of it for a long time.
We did, yes. But they did need us, I think. It was,
yeah.
They were at the end of the rope.
Yeah, they were out of guys.
You know how you said that the German connection was really brought up during World War I? We've found graves where the person who died before World War I is all written in German, the name and all the engraving and all that. And then on the other side of the stone, the person that died after World War One, it's all in English.
Oh, wow.
I don't recall the name, but one of our soldiers has a poem, and it's in English, but on the backside it's in German.
Well, we're going to take another break. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We're talking about the Adopt-A-Grave program. If you're listening in Bloomington, try checking us out on 92.5. It might be a little bit clearer. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. If you missed our first two segments, you are missing out. So go home, get on our website on CatholicSpiritRadio.com and listen to our conversation with Jan and Suzanne about the Adopt-A-Grave project. For folks that maybe want to adopt a grave or get involved, what's the best way to get more information or get in contact with you?
I think a good place would be to email me. And my name is Suzanne, so it's S-U-Z. My last name is Kraus, like the John Kraus VFW post, K-R-A-U-S, at Gmail.
That's easy to remember.
It is, actually.
Suze Kraus at Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And, you know, if you live far afield, like I mentioned, we do have some counties ranging from Edwards County down in the southeast and Douglas County, Shelby, and Bureau, and, you know, just scattered around and about. And then we do have, at some point, we might be issuing information around the United States where we have, because people have family and friends scattered all over. And that would be nice to have to complete. And then the next step is to really to visit the graves of our soldiers who never came home. And there's 19 in France and one is in Belgium. And we're working with a couple vendors, and we hope to have an affordable trip together. And that would also work in if you wanted to do something a week before, you know, spend a week there and then do the trip. Or some people are combining a World War One, World War Two, because next year is the 75th anniversary of World War Two, and so there's a lot of options. I'm hoping to take a train over into Germany and visit my relatives there.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Have you been to Europe before?
One time.
Yeah, to Germany.
Yes, and found living relatives that we didn't know we had.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Spain and Portugal.
Okay.
And I'd love to go back. Portugal was fantastic.
Spain was okay. Someone in my last few months has talked about how Portugal was fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Portugal was unbelievable.
They just got back. Yeah.
The beaches were beautiful. The wine was fantastic.
And the price point.
The price was fantastic. It was cheaper at dinner to have wine than it was Coke.
Well, that's
Jan lit up over that. She's like, "Oh man, we brought back." I was up at midnight or 1 o'clock packing our suitcase, and we have this giant roller. It was me and my wife and a baby, and this giant roller suitcase. And on the way over there, I was like 49.2 pounds. You know, it has to be under 50 pounds. So on the way back, it had a zipper partition on the middle. So half of it and half of it, you could zip it shut. And I packed 15 bottles of wine, rolled them up like in jean pant, you know, rolled them up in clothes. And I only had half of that thing full. So I had to zipper partition it. The other half was completely empty. And I took it down to the front desk at like 1 a.m. I'm like, "Can you weigh this for me?" Yeah, it was like 52 pounds. So I had to
drink a bottle.
I had to drink a bottle, yeah. We bought bottles of wine there that were unbelievably good for literally like $2 or $3. It was fantastic. The chocolate was great. The towns were beautiful. Very like old rural area, you know, very coastal mountain-ish, not huge mountains, but some elevation change and great old towns and sit outside at the little cafe and drink wine and have chocolate or whatever. And it was fantastic. Spain, we went to Madrid, so it was much more just urban. Big city. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had gone to Portugal for the first 4 or 5 days, so the change was like, meh. You know, I mean, it was like going to Chicago. You know, they had the Magnificent Mile where everybody was shopping, and it was all the same stores. People just spoke Spanish instead of English, and it was, you know. We did get to go to a big art museum, so we saw some stuff that
in Madrid.
Right,
up the Prado.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was neat. But after spending 4 or 5 days, you know.
So you want to go back to Portugal?
Portugal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Is the southern part of Portugal considered to be part of, like, the Andalusian area where the Catholic, Jewish, and Muslim worked together for a couple hundred years?
I believe that's
their culture. I know it was in Spain. I didn't know if it went over to in Portugal,
Yeah,
too.
I think it did.
And that's a pretty fascinating period.
Yeah, that whole southern Iberian Peninsula
right area.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it would be fun. So when are you planning this trip for?
Well, we're hoping for spring.
Okay.
Before the prices go up.
Yeah.
And April in Paris, maybe.
There you go.
And a couple of the soldiers, the boys, are on MIA tablets. They didn't find their bodies.
Gotcha.
But we do one cemetery. We have 6 graves, and I have gotten a commitment for Illinois flags from one of our leading state elected representatives from the region here. So he's going to provide.
That was nice of Dan Brady to do that. Not Dan Brady?
No, Bill Brady.
Oh, man. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, that was nice of him, too. Just assumed
that
it was.
Because he has more power.
Well, that's true. He does have more power. But you can't go to a fish fry without seeing Dan.
That's true.
And we did Truck or Treat up at Uptown Normal. He was out there passing out coloring books last week. So
I hope everybody votes.
He adopted 2 or 3 graves.
Did he?
Well, through the funeral home. They
came. They
took on 3 graves in Wiley.
How do you do you have experience yet, or what do you think the experience is going to be when you go over there and see the graves compared to the ones here? Do they take better care of them, worse care of them? Is it basically kind of the same?
Well, they're all in American cemeteries.
Okay.
So they're very well maintained. And I have emailed directly with all of them. And we'll be escorted. You know, we'll go right to the graves. They'll know which ones we're visiting. And they've okayed that we can put anything we want there within reason and nothing lit, no candles. And they'll leave it there until it deteriorates. So if it's fresh flowers, not so long. An Illinois flag is what we want to do. And there may be something else we'll put.
Sure.
We want to, some of the soldiers, we know their religious affiliation. And so I'm thinking I'll approach the churches to get a prayer or something to say.
Sure. That'd be awesome.
And to have, it's up in the air. It hasn't been developed totally yet.
Yeah. Any of them are Catholic?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe we'll send them a Catholic flag or something.
Maybe a couple.
We'll have
a rosary.
Investigate that a little
prayer
more.
Card. St. Michael the Archangel prayer card, John. How about that? Maybe. Yeah. That'll be awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys coming and being with us. If folks want more information, go to suzkraus@gmail.com.
That's right.
SUZKRAUS. No E.
No E.
Yeah.
No E. And thank a soldier.
Yep, absolutely. We have Veterans Day coming up and voting day tomorrow, so time to vote. Do your civic duty. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. And if folks have questions about the Lexington Genealogical and Historical Society.
Yes, and we have a webpage.
And what's it?
LexingtonIllinoisFort.org.
LexingtonIllinoisFort.org. And you guys will be able to help them find their relatives.
Yes, we'll do our best.
Awesome. We appreciate it.
And people will be listening to this on Saturday.
Yep.
And if they're interested, the next day at 11 o'clock. On Sunday, they can come out to the old courthouse, probably about 10:45.
Okay.
One of the unique things happening, and we're not sure, but it was a national World War I Centennial Commission initiative. It's called the Bells of Peace. And they're moving through the time zones at 11 o'clock, and all the bells are supposed to ring.
Yeah.
I know that supportive documents and people have been encouraged, but a lot of people still haven't heard about it. So if you know anyone with a bell in their tower, they should ring. That's right, at 11 o'clock. And it's not too long. It's about less than an hour ceremony. Yeah. But it's very multi-sectional. It's, you know, all the forces are there, all the American Legion, the VFW posts. Everyone comes, you know, together to recognize and to remember and honor.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great great loss of life and a great war. And to your point, unfortunately, wasn't the last one. But thank you so much for your hard work in your full-time retirement job. And thank you, Jan, as well.
Thank you.
It was great having you on. If you guys are just tuning in, we've been having a conversation with Jan and Suzanne about the Adopt-A-Grave program. You can contact Suzanne at suzkraus@gmail.com or the Lexington Genealogical Historical Society on their website.
Thank
which
you.
Which is Lexington,
Illinois Fort.org.
Lexington, Illinois Fort.org. We will be back after this.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio on Saturday, December 1st for a Christmas pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Snows in Belleville, Illinois, where shrine grounds will be illuminated with the annual Way of Lights Christmas display that centers on the birth of Jesus. The trip includes the breathtaking drive-through display, plus a church tour, a Christmas tree display, and the gift shop. Seats are limited, so register before November 12th. Visit CatholicSpiritRadio.com for more details and to register. Call Kathy 309-828-6554 with questions.
We are back. Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. I want to thank Suzanne and Jan for being with us, talking about the Adopt a Grave Project. Again, if you want to get involved, you can contact Suzanne at suzkraus, K-R-A-U-S, at gmail.com. If you're just now tuning in, we're going to cover the gospel reading for this week. Go back and listen to our podcast from the first couple segments to get more information on the Adopt a Grave Project. You can find us, as always, on iTunes or Podbean or online at catholicspiritradio.com. This week's gospel is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributions to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel according to Mark. And I think Jesus makes a very good point this week, as always. Obviously, I think it's pretty straightforward, I would assume, that we're called to sacrifice. And we're called to sacrifice in the name of Christ so that we can strengthen our faith through those sacrifices. And so Jesus is explaining to his disciples that it's not the amount or the value that we give, but the amount of sacrifice that we make. And the poor woman who had very little gave all that she had, which was a great sacrifice in her life and obviously came from a place of great faith because she knew that she was able to sacrifice for the Lord and that the Lord would take care of her. Whereas the rich people gave from their surplus and it wasn't a sacrifice to their life. They gave more money monetarily, but not as much sacrifice. They held back on their giving because they had less faith in the Lord that he would continue to provide for them, even though they had already been provided for in great ways. And it reminds me of the gospel where Jesus says that it's more difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than a poor one. And again, I think it kind of goes back to that. When you have little, it's easier to have faith. You see those graces and those blessings that allow you to continue to live on a daily basis. I think the more that we have, the more we start to cloud our reality from faith, and we start to look at, well, I did this or I did that, and I have these security blankets in place with savings accounts or what have you. We start to remove ourselves from our faith and from the blessings that we have directly from the Father. So I would just encourage you this week to take some time and reflection and look at the blessings that you have in your life. Look at the sacrifices that you could make for others, not always monetarily, obviously, time, talent, and treasure, and where the Spirit is leading you this week to make those sacrifices that really are sacrifices that really hurt a little bit and will hopefully help strengthen your faith as you make sacrifices for the Lord and see that those blessings come back tenfold. I hope everybody has a great week this week. I hope everybody got out and voted, and I hope everybody has a good Armistice Day. If you want to go out on Sunday at 10:45 to the courthouse downtown, they're going to have a ceremony. So have a great week. We are getting close to Thanksgiving. So if you're out traveling to see family and friends, have a safe trip. And we will be back next week. We have a great guest coming up. Layla Miller will be with us. She's the author of the book Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. So we look forward to having her on with us next week. As always, this is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at catholicspiritradio.com.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio on Saturday, December 1st for a Christmas pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Snows in Belleville, Illinois, where shrine grounds will be illuminated with the annual Way of Lights Christmas display that centers on the birth of Jesus. The trip includes the breathtaking drive-through display, plus a church tour, a Christmas tree display, and the gift shop. Seats are limited, so register before November 12th. Visit CatholicSpiritRadio.com for more details and to register. Call Kathy 309-828-6444 with questions.